Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into another episode of the Swamp 247 podcast. I am your host, Graham Hall, joined today by my co-host, Blake Alderman. And Florida spring is in the books. We are here to talk about what we saw throughout the spring game. I got to just first start by saying, before we talk a little recruiting and some transfer portal content, that I am just grateful that Florida was able to have a spring game. You go back to COVID, several years where we didn't have a spring game. I know you remember, Blake, the years where Florida didn't have enough offensive linemen to even have a spring game. And now in the transfer portal era, it seems that there's a little bit of an incentive even to not play a complete game. You look up at what happened in Ole Miss, a couple other places around the country, some incentive to just not play a game, not only just for the risk of players potentially getting injured in that game, that's always been a factor, but in this transfer portal era where you never know what players could be poached by other programs, maybe there's a little bit of an incentive to not put some things on film. So if you were out there in Gainesville on Saturday, you got to be one of the few who really saw a complete spring game that was well attended in my mind. I thought it was just an enjoyable experience. You got to see DJ Lagway, I think, validate a lot of the hype behind him. He had a pair of touchdowns, was 10 of 16 passing. You saw some speed at wide receiver from Aiden Mizell. Obviously, Eugene Wilson, 8 catches for 128 yards, had a long touchdown pass from Graham Mertz. And Florida was able to run the ball at a more effective rate than we saw last spring. Jaden Baugh, I thought he was really, really impressive in that game. It was just an overall, I think, a good experience. They got out of the spring game relatively healthy, as head coach Billy Napier said. Cam Jackson had a minor injury early in the game. He was able to return in the contest, logged 2 tackles, including a tackle for a loss. Arliss Boardingham had a minor injury. He underwent surgery on Monday to repair a minor sports hernia that shouldn't impact him for the upcoming season. Overall, I think it was a successful showing, but I do think that there is an argument to be made, and maybe I'm in the minority on this, that I like the spring games being on a Thursday because it really gives you an opportunity to get a high amount of highly recruited guys on campus, because when you have it on a Saturday, you're competing with the likes of Georgia, Alabama, Miami, you name it. I think, Ohio State, there were a lot of targets that Florida is looking at that are also looking at some other top programs, and you're really having to fend off those guys going elsewhere. Still, the Gators had, I think, several priority targets on campus. Blake, you were out there talking to a lot of those guys. What did you make of the list that the Gators had, and what were some of the notes that you heard from prospects who were in Gainesville and what they thought of the program?
Yeah, I think you look at the visitor list as a whole, and we've had that on Swamp 24/7 of just, detailing kids that were here the last month and a half or so of just the entire stretch of spring ball, starting from practice one all the way up to the spring game. And I think if you look at the spring game list, I think a lot of people think you treat it as a regular game, to where if you've got a game, first game of the season, or whatever you have, a big game of the season, you look at the visitor list and everyone's like, oh wow, this is a good list or this is a bad list. And I think if you look at Florida's list, like, there were plenty of big time targets on their list of visitors that made it in or expected visitors and whatnot. But it wasn't what you see from maybe the last 2 years where it was on a Thursday, like you said, or a Thursday night. But I think it's good because I felt like whenever it was good, I guess for me selfishly, having it on a Thursday because it was a Thursday night, because I'll tell you, it was hot down there on the field on Saturday. I was cooking out there. But I think whenever you have it on a Thursday and you don't have to compete with some of those games, because clearly, you know, you're not playing it on a weekend where there's a lot of games to choose from. I felt like a lot of the kids that visited on those Thursday games, because it was easily accessible, you didn't have to choose from anything. Florida may have had a better looking list for a Thursday game, but I felt like there was a lot of kids that maybe weren't seriously looking at Florida as far as really giving them a fair look, because you don't have to compete with choosing for any other games. It was easy to get to. You're an in-state guy. I felt like there were a lot of guys that I guess a free trip, so to say, was maybe their intentions of getting there, compared to a Saturday, to where if you showed up at Florida, like there was genuine interest there. Like you chose to be there over a handful of other spring games. So I think it was good to see that, but there were plenty of big time targets. I think some of the big ones to highlight that were there, four-star defensive lineman Malik Autry. He's currently committed to the Auburn Tigers. That's a long-time commitment. He's from Opa-locka, over there in Alabama. He's been committed there a long time. Like, where he's from is like a stone's throw away from Auburn's campus. So he's been there a lot. He's been committed there a lot. But since adding an offer from Florida, I think around last spring, last summer, something that affected this. This is a guy that's been here six times. And for the majority of those visits, at least the visits this year, two of those were in the spring. One of those was a Thursday to Saturday visit. He basically woke up Sunday morning and went home. And then this past weekend, he was there Saturday, woke up Sunday and went home. So a lot of those recent visits are extended stay visits. And he left after the spring game this past weekend, wrapped up that visit and said that, you know, he saw Florida and Auburn as being neck and neck in his recruitment. And those could be pretty words that he's saying, but he's a guy that continues to visit Florida despite being committed to somewhere else. He's going to take an official visit this summer in June. He's going to take a couple other visits to like USC, UCF. I may have been forgetting some others, but, you know, a guy that's been committed to Auburn for a long time, but still giving Florida a look. He's saying the right things. We'll see where things go going forward, because he is a guy that has continued to visit. He's being treated like a priority. And I know there are some people around Florida's program that don't feel like this is a guy that's, you know, basically taking those free visits. It's basically wasting their time. That doesn't mean that, you know, it may not roll their way in the end. You may not flip to them, because again, guy that lives right down the road from Auburn. He's been committed there a long time. He's started to, was there at the start when they started to build their class. So, but Florida feels like they're getting a fair shot, and he seems to be genuine in his interest there. But that's a guy that Florida has felt like that it's not a waste of their time, that he's giving them a fair look. And there's some people that feel fairly good about where they sit in his recruitment right now. And he's certainly backing that up, saying that Florida and Auburn are neck and neck. But we'll kind of see where things shake out going forward there. And Caleb Cunningham, he's a five-star wide receiver. From Ackman, Mississippi, over there at Choctaw County. He's one of Florida's top receiver targets. He's a guy that visited, it was a junior day, I believe, either the later part of January earlier this year or that last weekend there in February before the dead period kicked in. And he's a guy that, you know, Billy Napier, who's had a background of coaching the wide receiver position, whenever they sat down and had a conversation there in his office on that previous visit, told him that he was one of their top guys, that he's going to be treated like a priority. He's echoed those statements of feeling like a priority when he was there this past weekend for the spring game. We actually saw him walking out of the stadium after the game had wrapped up, and the coaches had some time around the recruits and the family and whatnot. And Billy Gonzalez walked out with Caleb and his family. And you could tell that, you know, was really, you know, excited to see them, was happy that they were there, told him right before they wrapped up and parted ways and he left campus that, you know, that he's a guy that really high on his board, you know, got to have you. What do we got to get you? You know, you're a priority guy for us, and we're really going to take a big swing at you. And he mentioned that Florida is one of those teams that is competing really hard in his recruitment. And I think when you have a guy like that, he's from the state of Mississippi. And traditionally, the state of Mississippi does a really good job of keeping those kids in state. The Mississippi State, who's recruiting him very hard, Ole Miss, who has done a good job recruiting him as well. Those are two teams that are absolutely in this recruitment, and you absolutely have to watch them, and you will continue to watch them all the way to the end. But schools like Auburn, Florida, Florida State, Alabama, those are some other schools that he's talking up. He's talking about taking official visits. He's got some set up to Tennessee, which is another school in the mix for him. He's got one set to Alabama for this summer. And he mentioned that Florida, he's got one, I wouldn't say it's set, but they have a date that they're looking at. for the month of June to get back there for the official visit. Still kind of ironing everything out and finalizing everything, making sure everything works for both sides. But it's a guy that's planning to visit Florida yet again, going to take that official visit. I think the big thing for Florida, what they have to do is they have to, I mean, this is a guy that had like a 10-hour trip from home over to Gainesville this past weekend. So a guy that's got a really close-knit family. They're, you know, they, I think being in state is an appeal. And I do think it will be tough to pull him from the state of Mississippi. But these other schools, you know, the ones that I mentioned, are trying to do their best to make sure to show him, like, this is the place that can be for you. You can do something on your own, forge your own path, yada, yada, yada. And I think that that's something that Florida will need to continue to show. And I think that's, if they're going to have a real shot of this in this recruitment for him, they need to continue to show that to him, because they're certainly checking off all the boxes of, you're a fit in our offense. You'll be a playmaker that, you know, we stretch the field, that it's a receiver friendly offense. Cause you saw Florida take some shots in that spring game. And you know, it's a guy that there's development there with the guys Billy Napier has coached when he's been a wide receivers coach, and Billy Gonzalez has coached and put into the league. So Florida's still going to have to battle there, and they're clearly competing in his recruitment, were his words he used. So we'll see going forward there. But I think if Florida had one guy from the entire portion of spring where they had all these guys visiting their campus, I think one of the guys that they made the biggest move overall of all the guys they hosted is four-star interior offensive lineman Zaire Addison. He's a four-star lineman from the Riverview area in the state of Florida at Sumner High School. He's a guy that they see that could play all five offensive line spots. They view him as a tackle long-term, but he's a guy that can play center. He can play guard. He runs track in high school. He wrestles in high school. He plays football. So he's a like a multi-sport athlete that moves well, has good footwork. You know, he's strong. He really checks off all those boxes of what Florida's looking for in an offensive lineman. And he's had a Florida offer since around spring last year. He visited for one of their scrimmages this past spring last year. And he's visited, I believe he was at the Tennessee game last year. And that's really the only visit outside of the visit for the scrimmage where he was offered. It's a guy that has visited twice over the course of the last year, but that changed this past week. He pops in on a Thursday. Visit goes really well. He spoke glowingly of that visit. I have a write-up on Swamp 24/7 of just all the things he had to say. And he went into that visit not having – Florida was in his top 12, but I would say that they were maybe one of those teams in the outside looking in as far as that really core group of schools that he was taking a solid look at. And he said that visit really changed that Florida's now got an official visit. They'll get him back in the summer. He's really taken a solid look at them, likes the development plan they have for the offensive line, really likes Rob Sale, really likes John DeCoster, really likes the relationships that they have built so far, and also really likes Billy Napier. So he'll be there that last weekend of May, that first official visit weekend of May 31st. So he'll be there to take that official visit. But not only did this guy show up for last Thursday, but he popped back in on Saturday to spend the spring game. So that's two visits in 1 week. And you could just tell that this was a guy that wasn't just saying the right things. Like, I think they did a really good job of impressing him, showing he's a priority, showing all the things Florida has, the opportunity that he has there, what they think of him. So I think they did a really good job there. And I think one other guy of note on Florida's visitor list is a guy up in the Jacksonville area, up there in Orange Park, a three-star defensive back, Caleb Singleton. He's a guy that has had an offer since Corey Raymond was here last year. He was offered as soon as Will Harris got the job, Florida's new secondary coach, right on him. You know, was recruiting him hard. The relationships have been there. He's a guy that has played cornerback at the high school level, but I think will kind of translate more into that safety position this coming season. But versatility is a big key of what Will Harris looks for in defensive backs. Like, he wants guys that can play star, safety, corner, can do a lot of things. And I think that's what Singleton does a really good job of. And even on the track, I think his personal best this year in the 100 meter is like a 10.52 or something to that effect. Like, he's improved his track times from maybe around that like 11, kind of pushing that on the cusp there into the, you know, the high parts of the tens. Like, he's dropping his track time, so the speed's improving. He's got the length, he's got the positional flexibility that Will Harris likes. That's a guy that Florida really likes a lot, despite that three-star ranking. He's mentioned Florida's one of the teams that has been recruiting him the hardest. He's got an official visit set up for the summer. Corey Raymond, you know, at LSU, he's offered him over there. Texas A&M is another team he's mentioned that's been recruiting him. He has an official visit set up with Rutgers for the summer. And Kentucky's another team recruiting him. So I have a crystal ball in on 24/7 Sports for Florida. I logged that a month or 2 months, month and a half, something like that ago. So I think Florida is the team to beat there. They feel really good about where they sit with him, and it was good for them to get him back on campus for a second time.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned a couple of things there. One is positional flexibility, because if you talk to members of Florida's coaching staff, from, you know, John DeCoster, who came to this program by way of the Cleveland Browns, Will Harris, another guy with an NFL background, they understand that you can't just be adequate or good even at one position at the collegiate level. If you want to have a professional career, that's something they've stressed to current guys on the roster, whether it's Bryce Lovett, the offensive lineman, who's still 18 years old, but has the ability to play all five spots on the offensive line, multiple defensive backs they've brought in who have the ability to play at multiple spots in the secondary. I think that that is something that they are looking to recruit based off of the opportunity to not just lock in at one spot, because that's going to increase, one, the opportunity to see the field at Florida, but also make it to the professional level. And that is certainly, I think, something that's been a consistent recruiting pitch from this coaching staff. And, you know, you also mentioned it with Caleb Cunningham, and it goes back to what I spoke about in the beginning, putting some things on film and having an actual spring game, showing that you can have improved explosion from your offense, that you're going to have a downfield passing game. That is something that I think is a box that needs to be checked for a lot of these guys to see that before they can buy into a program. And you can't just do that when the season arrives, especially if you're Florida, a team that's going to play 11 Power 5 games. Maybe that's not going to be as on display as it was in the spring game here. So when you're pitching that message to guys like Caleb Cunningham, Caleb Singleton, they want to see that they're going to be able to fit into this team and have an opportunity to be successful. You know, you mentioned Malik Autry as well. That's a guy that, you know, he could have it wrapped up before the start of his senior season, but it also may come down to the wire. You may want to see how Florida does during the season. But he did make it clear, like you said, that this is a program that is pushing him heavily. They're talking to him more than any other program not named Auburn. And that is really going to, I think, give Florida a good chance. And he also spoke really glowingly about Gerald Chapman, just the energy of Gerald Chapman, what we've seen from him throughout the spring. I mean, you can hear that guy from 100 yards away. And he really coaches players kind of in an old school fashion. It's really refreshing to see in my mind, where he's willing to get on guys and speak his mind. He's not, you know, tiptoeing around them, afraid that he's going to drive a guy into the portal by being too aggressive to him. And I think there's a lot of guys, maybe we underestimate how many, who want to be coached that way. So that is certainly something that we've heard consistently from Chapman, from players on Florida's current roster, and from recruits that have come in. But less about the future right now, I think, is the focus. As much as recruiting obviously matters, this is a Florida team that still has needs for the upcoming season. And now with this 2-week transfer portal window that's open for guys to enter the portal, this is a pivotal time for Florida when it comes to constructing their roster for the upcoming season here. Now, we got to get this out of the way. The Gators are going to have to be sellers before they can be buyers. I mean, they were sitting at the 86-man scholarship limit heading into the spring game. We saw Manny Nunnery enter the transfer portal. We reported that yesterday at Swamp247. You could check that out there. And if you also want more recruiting info on what Blake was just discussing, also check out his coverage over at Swamp247. Does a fantastic job at keeping up with the recruits. And I think that if you want more information, you can absolutely find it at the best place in the Florida marketplace. That's Swamp247. I think if you look at the transfer portal right now, we've got a tracker going right now. The Gators yesterday reached out to a good amount of prospects, but I do think they're going to have to wait and see here for some attrition to see who joins Nunnery in entering the portal. And I don't think that they're done with departures. We could see some here. We're recording this Wednesday morning. We could see some throughout the day. We could see some over the next coming days. Certainly there's a little bit of a urgency to see players depart the roster if they're going to, so that Florida can take advantage of players who are entering the portal. But as we reported yesterday, the Gators have already reached out to several prospects who are out there. And as Blake broke the news last night, Florida has already made one addition as a walk-on, someone that you had a chance to cover back in December when he took an official visit to Florida. That's Caleb Rios, a tight end from Air Force who kind of has a little bit of a unique situation here where he's going to be on campus for 18 months. What do you make of that addition for Florida? And who are some of the other players just that we've already heard of that you want to talk briefly about that you know that Florida has already made contact with in the 36 hours that the portal has been open?
Yeah, you know, just talking about Caleb Rios, was a guy that entered the transfer portal last year in September, was in that winter window. He took an official visit to Florida there in January. So he got the time around the coaching staff. Russ Callaway is a guy he mentioned doing a really good job with. Really felt like he connected with Billy Napier on that official visit. Got to meet some of the players. I think Hayden Hansen was one guy that he got to mention hanging out with, a guy that's in that position room. Was around DJ Lagway, who, if I'm Florida, anybody that visits, like I'm literally putting DJ Lagway in front of everybody. When you sign a five-star guy, number one quarterback there in that 2024 class, if you're anyone that is an offensive lineman, running back, anyone on offense, like even if you're a guy that makes Gatorade on the sidelines for the offense, like I am putting DJ Lagway in front of you. So mentioned getting a chance to connect with him. He's an interesting player because if you look at Air Force's offense, or I guess if you look at Rios's career stats as far as in the passing game, this guy has 11 catches over the entirety of his career. It's just not an offense that is one that's really pass heavy. Like, they are one of those teams that's going to run the ball. But if you look at the blocking numbers, I think that's one of the strengths that Rios has in his game is being able to block. And I think that when you look at the transfer portal, Florida had tight end as an area they wanted to address, clearly. Like, they hosted Rios on that official visit there in January. But it wasn't like this dire need position that Florida wanted to address. If they could do it, great. If they could make it work number-wise, great. Because, again, you know, Manny Nunnery leaves Florida sitting at 85 scholarships. So, like you said, you have to be a seller before you have to be a buyer. But Florida, I think it's pretty interesting what they did as far as roster adjustment or whatever you want to call it, is that this is a guy that's coming in as a preferred walk-on. He's coming from a military academy, so he was able to a guy with a 3.8 GPA, so he was able to join this graduate program at Florida as far as being able to study mechanical engineering. He'll have an 18-month program there, which is basically stemmed from him being a military student. So it's a guy that you can get in as a walk-on. And he has the 18-month program. For him to even look at the draft sometime down the line, he said that he'll have to wait like 2 years, I think he said, from being in that military academy before he can test the draft water. So you kind of – everyone. It seems like everybody wins here. Florida can take him in this year, not have him on scholarship. The plan is to have him play in 4 games and redshirt him. So then you can have him next year, whether you want to keep him as a walk-on, put him on scholarship. I think we'll kind of see how things maybe go this year from practice film they get, what he does in games, and, you know, all that type of stuff. So you've got a guy that's not going to take up a roster spot this year, and it's a position he wanted to fill. He can play in 4 of those games, redshirt, be back next year, continue with his graduate program there. He's actually, I believe he said he's a lieutenant right now from being in the Air Force. So, I mean, the guy is like, I mean, he's a lieutenant in the Air Force. He's going to study mechanical engineering. He gets to play football at Florida. So, I mean, moving from, you know, in that offense that he's got 11 career catches into an offense to where he can do a little bit of both as far as affecting the passing game like Florida does, affecting in the run game as far as blocking. So I think he's an interesting player. There's not a lot of what you can see of what he's going to do in the passing game. He said that he's a guy that has played basketball, you know, in high school and actually got some college looks playing basketball. So he's got the athleticism. He didn't seem to where, can I do it? Can I be a factor in the passing game? I think he felt like his pass catching abilities wasn't something that was showcased at Air Force. So he's excited to be able to do that, potentially test the draft waters when those times come around. So it's an interesting way to where Florida addressed a need without having to use up one of their roster spots. And it's a guy that, you know, they could potentially even have the season after this one coming up, and he could be a scholarship guy. It's a young room, so you've got a guy that not only has experience of playing college, but a guy that's coming from a military school, so he's got that discipline. So he can kind of hold those guys on offense or in his room, you know, accountable because, again, military school, they got that discipline there. He's got that experience. So I do think it was a cool way to where Florida addressed a position that maybe wasn't a dire need for them, but they still were able to fill, and they were also able to not have to sit there and crunch numbers even more as far as the 85 scholarship limit.
Yeah, I think it's a low risk, high reward type move. I mean, yeah, not having to use a scholarship on a guy with, you know, Division I experience, I think that's a win right there in itself. Even if he's just going to play four games this season, he gives you another practice body on a team that, if you've talked to Billy Napier, he's really intent on having a deep scout team so that they can use two practice fields and have a deep walk-on program and get the most out of practice when fall camp arrives. From that perspective alone, it's a win in my book. It's, like I said, a low risk move, a guy who's already familiar with the program and the tight end position. I think, you know, I mentioned Arliss Boardingham undergoing that procedure. You get Hayden Hansen back, another guy who's continued to improve. But behind those guys, you really have, I think, a lack of overall experience at the tight end position. Who knows what happens with Keon Zipperer, a guy still working his way back from injury. Who knows what he's able to contribute this year, if at all. You look at Tony Livingston, a guy who made the move from offensive line, still at the tight end position. Gavin Hill, a defensive lineman who switched to tight end ahead of spring camp. And they're going to get Amir Jackson here on campus here in summer, someone that this program is really, really high on. But how much can you count on a freshman being able to impact the game this season, just knowing how much responsibilities the tight end position has in this offense? I think that getting another tight end here, regardless of whether he contributes in the passing game, if he's able to impact the game from a blocking standpoint when he's in there, that's a win in my book as a former walk-on, you know, as a walk-on who's now headed to this program. So that's one addition we've already seen. I don't think it's going to be the only one here. This is certainly a position, a team with several positional needs. I think you look at the interior of the offensive line, just the youth they have at the guard spots, even in including at center. I think you look at the edge spot, as good as LJ McCray looked, and you're going to get Justice Boone back here by fall camp. I think they could certainly add another edge piece to this roster and, you know, another wide receiver. We've seen Florida reach out to a couple of wide receivers now that the portal is open, including one from Penn State, one from Colorado State. So I just, you know, are those the positions you feel that Florida should target in the portal here, the ones I just mentioned, or is there maybe one other that you're missing, that I'm missing here?
No, I think so. I think wide receiver is probably one of those that tops my list. You know, you look at Eugene Wilson, made a statement as a freshman, had a really good game. Seemed like he picked up right where he left off there in the spring game. And then it's kind of unproven. You know, I think Marcus Burke was a guy that at least impressed me in the spring game. You've seen him kind of make some of those wow catches, but really hasn't consistently seen the field, or you don't know what he's, you know, consistently put together. But that's a guy that just really hasn't seemed to get that consistent role. You've seen some of those guys that have dealt with some drops. You know, there's a lot of young guys that you really don't know what's going to happen with them going forward because they just don't have the game experience. How will that translate from being a high profile high school kid to a really good practice player to making those plays in the game? So I think if you can get someone that has that experience, you know, like you mentioned, Colorado State wide receiver transfer Justin Ross Simmons is a guy that has mentioned hearing from Florida. I talked with Billy Gonzalez on Tuesday whenever he entered his name in the portal, and he's a guy that's had some production there. He's coming out of a sophomore year, so he'll have 2 years left to play, a guy that they've communicated with. And there's some other wide receivers. You know, you mentioned the guy from Penn State is a guy that I believe that Florida will have interest in. But that's a guy that he looks like he's going to be one of the top wide receivers in the portal there. And I feel like wide receiver is one of those areas that any team more than likely a lot of teams are going to have a need for that position. So that could be a contested recruitment. We'll see how things go from there. And there's going to be more guys that continue to enter their name in the portal. I mean, it's a 2-week stretch there that ends at the end of this month. So we'll see where things shake out. And again, Florida's still sitting at the 85 scholarship limit. Still got to have guys to leave to get guys to come in. So I do think wide receiver is one of those areas that is a big position need for me. I do think that they need someone at the jack position, to be more specific, on the edge, that stand up rush position, call it a buck, whatever you want to call it. Each team has their own little position name for it. But I think TJ Searcy is a really good young player that really made a lot of flashes this past season as a freshman for Florida. But you look at the depth behind him, you know, there's a lot of guys that are unproven or young, and you've obviously lost Princely Umanmiela in this past season to Ole Miss, and that's a guy that had really taken the majority of those snaps. So you've got a guy that's unproven in Searcy, even though I do think he's a really good player, but you'd like to see some more depth in there. And it's kind of hard to tell. You know, I know Quincy Ivory, a guy that they added from the JUCO ranks, he's more of a jack position guy, but that edge room for Florida is basically a jack or an F. How many of those guys cross train between both positions? You know, is a guy like George Gums, is that the guy that they could see lining up at the jack position? Because that's a guy that they added through the transfer portal this past winter opening there in the transfer portal. So how many of those guys can cross train that position, or could be a jack and an F or both or whatever? I think that maybe is the question more for me of how heavily they need to recruit that edge position if you're looking at strictly a jack guy. But I also think in general in the transfer portal, in the winter window, you're going to have, I feel like that's a bigger, more trafficked window where a lot more guys may enter, you know, especially in the SEC, you seem to have a lot more guys enter there because you don't have the, you know, SEC to SEC rules. And obviously it's right after the season. So a lot of guys are more on the move and teams are more active of trying to add guys in that window period. So I feel like in general, between both of those, the edge position is one of those to where if you've got a really good edge player, 9 times out of 10, a school is going to do everything in their, like, everything possible to keep that guy there. Or if you've got a really good edge player that enters the portal, that's going to be a really contested recruitment. That's just a position that is a premier spot on the defense for just about any team in the country. So those are, it just seems like, are harder guys to get a really good one. Could you get a guy that's maybe more of a depth piece, or a guy that maybe wasn't cracking it at one school, and will he do that the same thing with a change of scenery at your school? I feel like those questions are there. So I do feel like Florida needs some depth at jack or at that edge position. But I just don't know if the portal is one where if you can get a really good player, yes, absolutely, I think they should go for it. But to me, it just seems like that's going to be a tougher position to hit on. And I know interior offensive line is one area where they've have been looking at some guys, or at least it's an area where they feel like if they can add another guy there, that'd be good for them. Former USC offensive lineman, he's an interior guy, Jason Zandamela. He's a 4-star guy from Clearwater area in the 2024 class. He signed with USC this past cycle. He's now in the transfer portal, and his parents live in Clearwater, still are over there, and he's mentioned that one of the big reasons why he wanted to enter the portal was to try to get somewhere closer to home. Schools like Miami, Florida, UCF, Georgia are some that he's mentioned that he's had interest in. Florida State is dealing with some kind of recruiting portal, I don't know, restriction for, I believe it's a week, to where stemming from the Amarius Mims fiasco they had there, however long back, to where they're kind of on a, I guess, a ban for just this week, to where that's a guy that was really interested in Florida State as a high school kid. It was basically between Florida State and USC. They're kind of waiting things out to see, you know, get through this limit there. If that's a team where Florida State jumps in the mix, I would think that they're going to be in the mix for Zandamela, because again, heavily was trending towards Florida State before USC kind of flipped things their way and got him. But those are some of the guys right there. And I think, again, interior offensive line, wide receiver, I think, is undoubtedly the biggest position they need to fill. But I do think edge would be good. I just don't know what's there, what they can do there. But I do think it would be a nice to give a little bit more juice in that room.
Yeah, I think a lot of this thing is a little bit still to be determined right now, because there was so much hype coming into this portal season that it would be the busiest portal season we've seen thus far. And to be quite honest, it's been a little bit dead in my mind. I mean, yeah, you've got your core.
It's only been one day.
You know, maybe they want to wait things out a little bit, and teams are just now having exit meetings. So it's going to pick up in my mind. But right now, it would behoove teams to have a wait and see approach. We'll see what Florida ends up doing. Absolutely. We'll be tracking it all over at Swamp247. Make sure you stay tuned there. If you're not a member, what are you doing? You can join right now for 60% off. If you miss out on joining today, you can get a 50% off deal. Take advantage of that. Join the largest, best message board community in the Florida Gators marketplace. And we will be, like I said, following it all over there at Swamp247 to see what happens. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Swamp 247 podcast. Grateful to have Blake Alderman join me today. I'm Graham Hall. We'll be back very soon. Thanks for listening and watching. Take care.